This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
2.5 hours, you will have a chance to witness something at Madison Square Garden we haven't seen since the turn of the millennium. Advancing at home. They had a chance to do it last year against the Pacers in Game 7. They lost to attrition. They had a chance to do it against the Sixers last year in Game 5. They lost to, really, their own dumb mistakes, plus Tyrese Maxey being awesome. They had a chance to do it all the way back in 2013, but can they do it tonight? Advancing at home for the first time since the 1999 Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get to it coming up, but on time, it's Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. By Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. And by New Jersey Lottery. Anything can happen in Jersey. All right. Party like it's 1999, Knicks fans, but what are going to be the five most likely talk topics to come out of Game 5?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Carl Anthony Towns' toughness. Been doubted pre this series. I think it continues tonight.
Well, he's on a stretch, man. Yeah. Those two games in Detroit really opened up the toughness of Carl Anthony Towns. And believe it or not, maybe I'm naive for saying this, Teague. I think even if he has an off Game 5, I think he's gotten the Knicks fans off his back temporarily.
Oh, yeah. Definitely he has, because he came out and he did what he needed to do. Played tough, made shots that mattered.
All right, here we go.
Number 4.
I look, this is selfish, but Mikal Bridges taking shots and missing them late in the game in a Knicks loss.
The Nets still in the league.
That's where we're at.
That's
right,
not going to happen. It happened in Game 4. It's not going to happen all the time.
Yeah, just throwing it out there. That's why it's number 4. All right, here we go.
Number 3.
The biggest talk topic is going to be the Knicks actually ending a series quickly here. Getting out of this with 5 games and moving on.
I think the real question is, and Tiki brought this up earlier in the show, if the Knicks advance tonight, how quickly do we all just start focusing on the Boston Celtics? Is it immediate, or is there a moment to say, hey, the Knicks advanced out of the first round for the third straight year?
I think because they're going to win at home, you're going to have a day to relish that a little bit. I do. And we're not going to start the series, you would think, until Sunday, Saturday. So you got a little time.
You always go off of the coalition of Knick haters. As soon as the Knicks clinch, any video, any tweet, anything that's put out there, Evan and his whiny servants or people that follow him will go, well, you're never beating the Boston Celtics. You're going to lose in 4.
So
you're
it's on
lose
us?
Five. Yes.
As soon as we
you
bring it
you create the narrative, you and your cronies of, well, you're going to get knocked out in the second round anyway. Ooh. Will you stand up and applaud Evan, Sean, the haters? Ooh. No, you won't.
I think we could have a public coalition meeting, Evan.
Yeah, let's have a public coalition meeting.
We're going to.
So Tiki is obviously kept pounding the table for us to not boo Juan Soto at Yankee Stadium on Friday, May 16th, instead of stand up, turn around, and say nothing. I think we don't say a thing tomorrow. Let Knicks fans get their hopes up. Let them celebrate a little. Let them work themselves into a little lather. Mm. Don't even give them the flesh. We're like, oh, see, you're a bunch of haters. Let them believe for a
let
day.
Let them have their moment.
Evan has to sign off on it. He's the leader. Are you doing that
I'm
right
totally
now?
I'm totally good with that. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. I think they should have their moment. Not even as a coalition leader, the coalition of Knick haters, but as like a real human. Like, we should be able to enjoy sports without always being miserable. Like, when good things happen, which is rare, and Knick fans, you appreciate that. I, as a Met fan and a Net fan and a oh my God, all my teams. I appreciate that good things are rare. So when they happen, I try to enjoy them.
Yeah, speaking of the Mets, since you reminded me, when the Mets come to Yankee Stadium for the Subway Series and Juan Soto's up to bat, Yankee fans, do not boo. Stand up, turn around, face the back of the stadium, and say nothing.
Now, what number are you up to?
Hashtag
number two.
Number two. The number two biggest talk topic that's going to come out of tonight's Game 5 is Jalen's ankle in round 2. Little spoiler alert. He's going to leave the game tonight and return.
I'll tell you this, though, about Jalen Brunson, which is crazy. So he had that injury scare in Game 4, and everyone saw the season flash before their eyes. He comes back. He's great.
he is not even on the injury report for game five. Like, even a, he's probable. Nothing!
Right. So the Knicks are cheating a little bit then, huh?
You think they're cheating?
Well, he has an injury.
No, I think
we're not designated anything? Isn't that illegal?
I think it's what Tiki said. I think Jalen Brunson was like, I just want to go, I got to go to the bathroom.
Right, I got
to
chill. I need 2 minutes.
I need a few.
Tibbs, you're killing me, bro.
And I'm going to add to my heroism. Help me out here.
Heroism.
By looking like I just got shot in the leg. I'm going to leave. I'm going to come back. I'm going to be a hero.
I could barely focus on doing number one because Tiki is the oddest shaped orange I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's starting to scare me.
Oh, my God. Can you lift that up for the
What is wrong with that thing, dude?
Looks like a pear.
This is, I forget what these are called, but they're delicious.
What is that?
And they're easy to peel.
It's like an orange with an Audi.
Yeah, but it peels. Like, you know how you usually have to, like, dig into the side
so
of the orange?
You pop it like a cork, like a champagne?
Pop it.
The way I would describe this orange for those and listening is it's a regular orange, and then it's got, like, a giant pimple on the top of it.
Yeah.
Like a really fat pimple.
Tiki popped
this
it, though.
Like this.
All right. Nice.
Here we go.
Number one.
And the number one talk topic that's going to come out of Game 5 is the refs. Because they've been the story all series long, and we will never forget that if the Knicks win, there is an asterisk after what happened, obviously, in Game 4.
Stop it.
Enjoy the game tonight, Knicks fans.
Here's how not a big deal the officials are. I brought up Hugh Hollins earlier in the show, and for anyone who remembers it, 1994, Knicks Bulls, Hubert Davis, Scottie Pippen, blah, 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 blah. We still talk about that 30 years later. Okay. We will not talk about Knicks Pistons game four.
Right.
30 years from now. Which is not.
No.
Like, it was, yes, it was a bad non-call.
Also because it was a call. It wasn't like it was a great shot. It wasn't like it was a dunk or a logo three. It was a non-call.
I also think non-call is less controversial than the call.
Mm.
I always believe that. You will hear more about the foul. Let them decide on the floor. Then the non-foul. But very important before we get to your calls. Very, very important because we're going to do this every single day. Our great colleague Sal Licata once declared the NL East was over a few years ago. And with the Mets rolling, coming off a 19-5 victory against the Washington Nationals right before the show, I asked Sal Licata again, is the NL East over in a brand new episode of a new segment on Evan Tiki called Hey Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
Hey Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
Right. Let's take a listen.
We'll get Sal's answer in just 1 minute here. Hold on. That was yesterday's answer that I had loaded, not this one.
Yesterday's answer, by the way, was no.
No.
It was a very simple no. Will that change today, Sal Licata?
Sal Licata, it's April 29th, I think. Is the NL East over?
I'm not going to say it. What do you think he's going to come? I'm not saying it yet. Not even close.
Not even close. All right, so there's your update.
What are we doing here?
The NL East is not over. He's not going to say it. It's not even close.
The NL East is over.
Sean Morash, at what date does Sal Licata relent and scream the NL East is over when I ask him this question? May 10th?
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
A little couple days after that. Monday, May 17th, following the Subway Series, when Sal's really feeling himself. Soto hits a big Sunday night homer. We'll get the whole song and dance from Sal that day.
That's what you think?
Oh, he'll dance on the graves that day.
Well, I'm with Sal right now. The NL East is not over. So
it is, though.
No, it's not over. Stop doing this.
It is. First team to 20 wins, 5 games up and a loss. It's over.
Do you remember the last time the New York Mets were the first team to 20 wins?
I do, Evan, because I did come up with a baseball IQ trivia.
What year was that, by the way?
2018.
How was the parade that year for the Mets that year?
The Mets finished under 500.
Yeah, how was the playoffs for the Mets that year?
Did the Mets have Juan Soto that year? Did the Mets have Pete Alonso that year?
Well, we had the corpse of Yoenis Cespedes.
Did the Mets have a pitching lab that year? They had DeGrom, have a pitching lab.
I am certainly not comparing them to 2018, but my point is it is very, very early. And don't look now. Guess who's getting hot? The Atlanta Braves.
We're looking.
Oh, are you looking?
Guess who's staying hot? The New York Mets.
Well, I hope so. Let's open up a 3-game series tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll certainly be challenging. Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound tonight. Brandon Nimmo out of the lineup after a 9 RBI day because his stomach hurts. Corbin Burns tomorrow. And then a Thursday afternoon game against Arizona. Yankees are down in Baltimore. The Orioles are like teetering. They finally got good starting pitching last night. Their bullpen almost blew it. But the Yankees have a chance to really put a hurting down on Baltimore. And they missed their opportunities last night. We'll see if they can kind of take advantage of it tonight. Carlos Rodon is on the mound. And we'll see if the Yankee bats can get going. The Yankee bats have been up and down. Mm-hmm. Like, they've averaged more runs than any team in the American League, but they come in bunches.
That doesn't feel like that.
I know, because they come in bunches.
Yeah. And it feels like they're top heavy and their lineup, and sometimes it just feels inept. And other times I don't know. They're a very weird team that's in first place in the American League East. But it feels weird because they're so good, but there's almost not reasons for them to be good.
Well, here's the great news, and I've said this since March. I'll say it again. It annoys Sean when I say it, even though it's fact. The American League stinks. And so being average may be good enough to get a first round bye, win your division, and be off and running in the American League playoffs. Now, one quick thing before we get to your calls. I'm very excited about this. The prices to go to Detroit for Game 6, they're dirt cheap. And by dirt cheap, I don't want to, like, that's not true. It's not dirt cheap. They're dirt cheap compared to Madison Square Garden.
Like, what is it?
The get-in price tonight, if you want to go to MSG for a potential closeout game, just the get-in price is $475. The get-in price in Detroit is about $95.
Wow.
And I've got four tickets, upper level, center court, in my checkout basket for $132 a ticket. All we've got to do is A, the Knicks have to lose, which they're probably not, and then B, we've got to figure out how we're getting to Detroit for Game 6.
Right, because we looked at the drive. It's actually like 9.5 hours.
Yeah.
It says 10, but we do it 9.5. Or fly. And the flights are $260-something.
That, which is reasonable, but you got to do connectors. You okay with connectors?
That's a short flight to connect.
I know.
That's the problem. I wouldn't want to connect.
Here's what I think is happening. I think, unfortunately, because I asked Tiki who he would drive with, Sean or Loogie, since Tiki and I can't drive together because we're both alphas. We both need to drive. And he chose Sean. I've got bad news.
What's that?
Sean is coming with me to tomorrow night's Mets game. The tentative plan, but first I have to ask my wife and probably our bosses, would be after Mets Diamondbacks, Sean and I get in my car, my big old Jeep, and we just drive to Detroit, Michigan at about 9:45 at night. By the way, drive home Rico. You can join me.
Okay, so we're going to do that, but on the way, you're going to drive me to Florham Park so I can hop in Tiki's car.
How do you avoid Christmas here? Dumb and Dumber?
Absolutely.
Shaggin' wagon.
Absolutely not. It's just me and you. We're going to the Met game. Tiki's going to want to get an early crack at getting out to Detroit. He's probably going to leave from here.
Are we going to find a Cracker Barrel or a Perkins?
Absolutely. Are they open at 3 a.m.?
They don't
close. At least in the South, they don't.
Beautiful.
Really? Yeah.
So keep this in mind. If the Knicks fail tonight, we're planning something big.
There's breaking Yankee news.
Uh-oh.
Is someone hurt now?
Brian Hoke, DJ LeMahieu, has had a cortisone injection in his right hip today.
Son of a...
Aaron Boone says it's preemptive as LeMahieu, quote, felt something coming on.
Ugh. What does that even mean?
Boone says they hope LeMahieu can return to minor league game action Friday or Thursday, but something coming on needed a cortisone injection.
He's going to stay in the minors.
All right, false alarm, guys. Right. It's okay. He'll be fine.
Not happening.
What? It was almost like this happened the moment we talked about it.
Yeah, for those who missed it, about 45 minutes ago, I declared confidently that DJ LeMahieu is going to contribute to this team. As down as Sean is and Tiki is on DJ LeMahieu, I believe he will come back and contribute. Unfortunately, it sounds like he's had a setback. Right, let's get to some of your phone calls. Let's go to Nancy in Flemington. How you doing, Nancy?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're good, Nancy.
Very, very good. Positive, Nancy. Has your positivity been raining lately?
Yes. The Mets had us on a roller coaster for the last couple of days, but I'm staying real positive. I just wanted to, I know it's Mets announcer Gary Cohen's birthday. I wanted to wish him a happy birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Yep. And with regard to Pete, unlike that other caller, I'm 100% positive that he's going to be re-signed, without a doubt, 100%. But in the meantime, and I know you're like, Evan, you're tentative about saying this, but Pete's going to lead us to the World Series. We're going all the way this year, like without a doubt.
Wow.
I know no one wants
feeling
to
it. Wow. I gotta tell you, Nancy, I've heard you say that. But I haven't heard the original positive guy, Positive Tommy, say that. All he does is he sets the bar low by saying, don't make plans in October. Well, guess what? We better not have plans in October. It's a disaster if we have plans in October. So, Tommy, are you going to match Nancy's positivity and actually grow a pair?
No. You're spreading lies as usual. You write everything down. You didn't write down when we did our preseason projections that I had them at 120 wins. They're beating the Yankees in the World Series.
That's right. I did have that. You're right.
Okay.
I guess you just don't say it enough. Like, it's, you should say it every day.
Leaders don't have to say that.
Yeah, but you say don't make plans in October. Like, I mean, you better be right about that. That's like me saying I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I better wake up tomorrow or else I'm dead.
Evan, have you met the members of our fan base? Twice already this season, they've basically melted down after losses, and the team has responded. This is in April. They have 20 wins. People are worried about Juan Soto. They're worried about a loss against Minnesota. They're worried about walk-offs. You always have to keep the Met fan
propped
up. All
right, time out. Show vote.
And positive.
Time out. Show vote. Me, Tiki, and Sean, it's got to be unanimous.
Yes.
Do you agree that Lugie's got to stop the don't make plans in October? It's pathetic.
Yeah,
like,
it was
too
good
low
for
the
last
bar.
Year. Yeah. It worked last year.
How about you, Sean? You want to make it unanimous?
Yeah, because my biggest issue is it didn't matter if they're in the playoffs. Nobody generally makes plans in October. It's a very, very weak vacation.
Well, that's not my issue with it.
Football. Nobody's going.
Yeah, like, it's a good point.
It is. I mean, it is a good point. It's just
I don't have plans. Don't make plans. Don't worry. I don't have plans.
I don't think I've ever taken vacation in October, in my entire life.
Like, if the baseball players are in July and he said, don't make vacation plans in July, now you're really causing people to double think those cruises.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so basically your coworkers think you got to change.
Am I Bill Belichick and you're Jordan Hudson? You're basically controlling
me.
Because every couple of weeks, you and others, they want to kill positive Tommy. And I've told you this a million times. He's unkillable.
No. First of all, we don't want to kill positive Tommy. We want to elevate positive Tommy. Making plans in October is very pathetic based.
That's not a positive Tommy's fine. It's just the October thing.
Yeah, we got to go further.
Our fan base is very negative.
I got it. Again, Tiki and Sean, if we approve it, you don't have to listen, but you should. Don't make plans on Halloween. Because that's when the World Series is.
Yeah, and you should be taking your kids Halloween trick-or-treating. And if you don't have kids, you should be giving candy on Halloween.
I got one. I got one for Halloween, inspired, that I will unveil.
But you're not going to tell us?
When?
No, I'm going to unveil it on social media after the next win.
I think it should be simply this. He's speaking to sports fans, right? Don't plan on watching football in October.
Because the Mets are playing?
Mm. Yeah, you're going to be focused on baseball.
We did both last year.
It's just a weak connection.
Yeah, that's weak.
He's got you taking vacations to Honolulu.
Yeah, people are going to be... I don't know.
People go to Aruba.
They're
going to
be like, what the hell are you talking about? Of course I'm watching football in October.
Yeah, I don't like. You know what? I think it should be very blunt and simple. We're going to win the freaking World Series. Mm. How about that? Like, after every win, will lead us, all the shtick, and then we are winning the bleeping World Series. Go all the way with it. Show some stones. Yeah, you like that, Teak?
That one works.
You like that, Sean?
It's direct. There's no ambiguity.
That's right.
Very easy.
And now the audience just tuning in at that exact second heard for the first time Evan Roberts say, we are winning the bleeping World Series.
Out of context. That's as out of context as me saying, let's go Knicks. It's out of context.
Hey, got it again.
Let's go to Kyle in Smithtown. How are you, Kyle?
Hey, guys. How are you? Two things. First, Tiki, I think you were talking about the Sumo Citrus oranges. They are the best. Oranges I eat.
They are. Yeah, they're fantastic.
They're great. Yeah. Second thing, I don't know if it's been discussed yet, but if it has, I apologize. With all the talk about Abdul Carter and him wanting LT's number, I was thinking maybe we can give him number 92 and restore some honor to that number. What do you guys think?
Wow.
Oh, don't get on my boy, Mike.
That was Lugie's idea.
No chance.
Lugie said it after Michael Strahan waved that Eagles flag, ripped the jersey off the wall, unretired.
He was being an entertainer. And by the way, LT feels it. No, said hell no.
That never made any sense.
But it was talked about.
No, I know. I know it was talked about, and I understand that he wanted it. That was a horrible idea. It was a horrible idea.
Kids are cocky. They don't know.
Do you remember, and I think it was refuted, so I think this story isn't even true, but it was out there that Clint Frazier wanted to wear number 7 and take it off of Mickey Mantle, and I'll wear it. And then I think it turned out not to be true. So that whole story went away. But I remember the outrage that people had. To me, this is even more outrageous. Because not only are we talking about a legendary player, we're talking about a legendary player that more than half the people listening actually watched.
Right. And it's consensus legend. It's not like, oh, this guy was just good for your team.
Right.
This was the best outside linebacker / edge rusher in the history of the game.
And I gotta tell you, I am not a hater as much as you think I am.
Mm-hmm.
If they gave Abdul Carter Lawrence Taylor's number, I would have rooted against him. Mm. I'm being honest with you. I would have hated him. I would have hated the Giants. And I would have want him to be a failure because it just pisses me off.
Yeah, it wouldn't have looked right.
It wouldn't have looked right
forever.
And so, and maybe that's me respecting Giants history.
Hey, look
more
at
than
you.
Some of the Giant fans that were okay with it, because I was not okay with it.
I think some people just don't care. They just want a team to win.
Yeah, I guess.
So it doesn't matter what it looks like. Just win.
Sean said earlier that one of his issues with Tommy is that he claims don't make vacation plans in October, and Sean says no one takes vacation in October. Mike in Ronkonkoma begs to disagree. How are you, Mike?
Hey, guys. How are you? Mirage, it's Bango, Sean Maxwell's buddy. How you doing?
What's going on, bro?
Nice.
What's up? What's up, man? Every October, we go on a golf trip for like 6 years now.
Huh.
Always October.
Huh.
Oh, I guess you guys are fraud sports fans.
Are you going to cancel those plans because the Mets may be playing games?
The Mets? No, I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh. Cut this guy off immediately.
But that's even crazier because the Yankees are in October every year.
That's why you got to remind people. I can't. I'm sorry. Am you I got wrong? Playoff baseball. It's the 1 month. It can go away all the other times.
So I'll tell you something interesting. Last year, and I do think this is interesting. It will get to an interesting place. Last year, I went to Disney World, and it was crazy busy. Went for the holidays. You remember that whole thing? Sean gave me crap, Christmas, Disney, the whole thing. And after it was done, my wife says to me, is there a time where Disney is not busy? Like, is there a time to go? And so I did very, very intricate research, and I found out that the time of year in which Disney is the least busiest, not quite October, but September. Right after Labor Day, that is the least busiest time at Disney World.
It's probably hot as hell.
I don't think that's it.
I mean, it's a landlocked city, or, you know, whatever, in the state, city in the state, and it's hot.
No, it's hot, but I don't think that's the reason, because it's hot in July and August, too, and people go. I think that is the universal time where every kid is in school. Like, if you look around the country, there are some kids that are in school in August. Like, it happens. Yeah. There are some kids that get the entire month of December off during the holidays. Like, it's kind of bounced around everywhere. But September, everyone's in school. So that would be my guess. And it's after Labor Day and the summer's over.
And it's just starting school. So it's not like you're going to just start school and then skip school.
Right.
So it's too early in the school year to say, I'm going to miss a week.
So what I would love to see happen, and I'm actually going to put Sean's wife up to it next time I see her.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'm going to like say, hey, listen, I can hook you up with some free stuff at Disney. You got permission. The bosses are good with it. Fall book, whatever. You got to take vacation in September.
Don't
you got to go to Disney.
Don't
just
do that.
To see how Sean responds to it.
Don't do that because her birthday's in September, and I've put my foot down for years.
That's a perfect birthday gift for your beautiful wife.
I got into a huge fight with her once on her birthday because I rushed home from Hershey Park on a Sunday morning because the Giants were playing the Bears at 1 o'clock. We didn't stop at Cracker Barrel. It was a huge week-long fight. You're not doing that.
You know what she wants for the Disney. Big 4-0 someday? She said Disney.
What?
Disney.
No, not happening.
Disney.
She doesn't have the teeth for Disney like that anymore.
Doesn't have the teeth for Disney?
You never heard of Disney teeth?
No. What's the teeth for Disney?
The people that obsess over Disney, there's a common theme. People like to say they have like the high gums and they call it Disney teeth.
What?
You ever see somebody with the high gums? They go, that person loves Disney every year.
I've never heard that.
Why Disney teeth.
That?
Yeah. It's a thing. Disney teeth.
I've never heard that.
Wow.
Now I got to search that.
Yeah, me too. I don't think anything nefarious is going to happen, but information is important. The lead official for tonight Mobile is someone that Tom Thibodeau really, really, really hates. If you go back to December of this season, Tom Thibodeau was openly criticizing officials, would not refer to him by name, but is not a fan of Jason Goble.
This guy in particular
who will be officiating tonight's game. So keep an eye on him. He's bald, all right? So when you're watching the game and you're like, which one's Goble? He's the bald white guy, all right? So keep an eye on him because Tom Thibodeau don't like him. And there is a history between the Knicks and Goble, and really Goble in the NBA. He's a controversial official, to say the least. But we will make predictions. In fact, we'll do it right now before we get back to your calls. I do think the Knicks win tonight. I've been very consistent of Knicks in five. In fact, when I said Knicks in five, I was accused of, I don't know, trolling somehow. But so far, I've been perfect on this. Knicks would lose a game early in this series at the Garden. I wasn't sure if it was one or two. It turned out to be two. And then they would win the series in five. So I stand by that tonight, obviously. And I think it's going to be a close game that they pull away late.
Mm.
That's my ultimate prediction. I think fourth quarter, it's a relatively close game. And then Jalen goes to work. Cade Cunningham struggles. And I think the Knicks end up winning by a final score of 115 to 103.
Hmm. That's an interesting scenario that works out. I think that the Knicks have found a way to get Cat and Jalen Brunson going. The offense has just run differently than it was earlier in the series. And if they get shot making from Mikal Bridges and OG to an extent, game four was a blowout. I think it's more along that line. I don't think Mikal Bridges is going to struggle and have to solidify his worth by playing great defense. I think the Knicks run away with this thing early, and they win 120 to 99.
They're dudes!
A little blowout action from Tiki.
Dogs! Sean Morash.
Pistons win in overtime, 118-115.
And that means we're in a car going to Detroit Rock City.
I can't wait. Want to drive to Detroit?
No, I don't want to drive to Detroit. I'm giving you my honest opinion on what happens.
Well, you do have an out, okay? I'm never going to force anybody. I am going to go. I still need approval from my wife and the bosses, but I assume all that will happen. Are you good to go if your prediction is right?
Well, I haven't talked to my wife yet.
And will you tell her that you're leaving after Mets Diamondbacks tomorrow night? Like, we're going to go to Mets Diamondbacks, and then we leave.
So basically, you're leaving home at
tomorrow morning,
10:30, and you'll see you on Friday?
Yeah, I got to figure out who's taking the kids to school.
See you
Thursday.
On Friday night, by the way.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, we can look into flying back early Friday morning.
What, are you going to leave your car?
No, that's true.
Crap. It's not parking your car at Citi Field. You can't leave your car in Detroit and we fly back.
No, come on. I've done this before. What I would do then is I would rent a car in Queens. Mm. We would drive a rented car to Detroit and then fly back. I've done that before.
Why don't we rent an RV? This way somebody gets to nap. And
no, because Tiki needs to drive. He told me.
Mm. Well, I mean, if we rented a Sprinter or something.
Yeah, and we had time, like room to hang out in the back. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But then the problem is you guys got to come to tomorrow night's Mets Diamondbacks game.
No, we'll swoop by. He's in Queens. Yeah. We'll go to Jersey. We'll do a whole pickup system.
Is that on the way?
Yeah, we'll
pick him up.
Pick him up.
Once you're driving 10 hours, what's 10 hours and 20 minutes?
Yeah, right. It's a fair point.
Yeah, 20 minutes in New York is 4 hours to go 2 miles.
Yeah, Luke and I will be in the bar in Queens.
All right. Sounds good to me. All right, so Sean's going Detroit in overtime. Tommy, Lou Gower.
I'm torn, I'll be honest.
Why are you torn?
Because I had the Knicks in six, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lost this game like they did last year, and then they win game six in Detroit. It wouldn't surprise me, but I'm going to pick more with my heart here. I say the Knicks take care of business tonight. They do damage. I'm going to say the Pistons' spirit was broken in game four, and they will win this one in a laugher, and Midtown Manhattan will be a party tonight.
Do you think they will act like they won a championship by celebrating
it? 100%. And you and your cronies will take shots.
The fans?
Oh, they were celebrating after game one.
Yeah, well, it's true.
It's part of the culture almost now to go out there and celebrate. I love it. I understand why it's mocked, but I think it's fun. I think it's good natured.
And why not? Why not?
I actually wouldn't mock it this time because I think winning a series at home for the first time since 1999 is very cool.
Yeah.
Is there a part of you? Because I've learned this about you, Tommy. Sometimes you care more about
myself,
opinions and yourself than the actual results, which is why you've
it's quite
said
the accusation, but okay.
Well, no, you confirmed it last week when I asked would you rather the Mets win 120 games but Soto struggles versus the Mets win 90 games and Soto's the MVP? And you're like, yes, I want to make fun of you.
You're
my brother.
No, hold on. But you're leaving, yes, but you're leaving key parts of that out.
No, that's the
in
whole
both
story.
No, it's not.
That's
in
the whole story.
No, it's not. In both scenarios, the Mets would make the postseason.
Either way, you have shown that you care more about that. So is there a part of you that doesn't want to see the Knicks win tonight because me, Evan Roberts, the leader of the Coalition of Knickators, will have absolutely nailed to it this Knicks-Pistons series by the game? Like, is there a part of you that doesn't want to see the Knicks win because you don't want me to have the satisfaction of being so right about this series?
I don't want to hear you crow. I'll admit that. I don't want to hear, the whole place will stink of your farts. I don't want that. But I'm not going to put that over my fandom and the Knicks moving on, as much as I will hate that.
Okay, good answer. And by the way, I'm not going to crow. I'm just going to replay the audio.
That's crowing.
That's not crowing.
Yes, it is.
I'm not saying anything.
No. You sending me the audio for me to play, basically like I'm your hostage, is you crowing.
Well, in fairness, though, I will send you that audio even if you're right. Like, you know what I have to send audio tomorrow of? Because we do need to hold everyone accountable.
Yeah.
I predicted back in January that Myles Garrett would be on the Philadelphia Eagles. So we have to play that.
I don't even remember that.
You don't remember that? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I do. I had the Commanders.
See? So we have to pay off on that.
What did I say?
You said he would stay in Cleveland.
I was right.
I think so. I'll have to double check. Let's go to Duke and Edison. How are you, Duke?
Yeah, I'm fine. I think the Knicks are going to win tonight. I don't want to go back to the Detroit. I want it over tonight because I don't like the way the Pistons have been playing against the Knicks.
You're right. And we mentioned this at the top of the show. You can rewind on the Odyssey app to 2 o'clock. Tonight is really important for me for four reasons. Number one, don't let this mucky series become muckier. Number two, don't let attrition continue to battle you, guys getting hurt. Yeah. Don't let Cade Cunningham gain confidence and start to become the clutch superstar that he still needs to prove he can be.
Or destined to be.
Or destined to be. And number four, if you're going to beat the Boston Celtics, you need to do it at your best and your most rested nature. So on a lot of levels, and the Knicks fans owe it. Like, they need a home clincher. They almost had one last year, almost had two of them last year. They didn't get any. So I agree with you. Let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Evan. Great show, guys. So listen, Evan.
Yes.
There's something I want to talk to you about. It's been bothering me for years. It's something that you do with the Mets. I'm a huge Mets fan.
Uh-huh.
And I just, okay. So I just, Tiki, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in karma?
Karma. I guess so.
Okay. Listen, Evan, would you say that you're Mr. Met of the tri-state area?
I wouldn't say that. I'm just one guy who loves the Mets. There are many people who love the Mets and are passionate. So I will not call myself that by any stretch.
Well, put it this way. I think people see you as Mr. Met, and it kills me that you bet against your team to lose to win money.
You're damn right.
And it really bothered me a week ago when you gave Tommy a hard time
Well, usually you got a list of those things that he gives me a hard time about, but you're right, Mike. He was giving me a hard time.
Yeah. He was giving you a hard time about you rooting against that you wanted the Phillies to beat the Yankees.
I said to him, you need to root for what's best for the Mets, and so that means rooting for the Yankees when they play the Phillies or the Braves. And I stand by that. The reason I do emotional betting, and I'll probably even do it tonight in the Knick game because – spoiler alert, I want the Knicks to lose, is in my brain, it makes me feel like a centimeter better to at least win money when I'm upset about sports. And I've done it with all of my teams. I've done it in situations where I don't like a team like the Knicks. And while it doesn't make me feel better, I still do it because at least I can tell myself I got something for my suffering.
So if you didn't hedge on the Knicks...
Mm-hmm.
And they just won. You would be upset?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Why? It's not your team.
Sunday ruined my day.
What? But I don't... This is what I understand.
I don't like the Knicks, bro.
You could simply not watch them. Now, you can't, obviously, because it's your job to know what happens and pay attention.
Oh, I'd watch them anyway. Trust me.
I know, but if it bothers you so much, why don't you just not watch them?
Okay.
And then just find out what the score is and be like, oh, damn it, they won. Yeah, it's temporary. Or, yes, they lost, but it's also temporary. Like, why anguish yourself?
I'm a baby.
Over something like this.
Why did you, Sean, watch the Philadelphia Eagles basically every chance you could get?
Hate watch?
Hate watch. Thank you. That was exactly what I was looking for. We hate watch. So, since I was a child, I've always hate watched the New York Knicks.
I'm a baby.
By the way, for anyone who's upset about that, at least I'm honest with you. Most people in the media lie to you. They lie to you.
Yeah.
They tell you, oh, yeah, we're buying, we're fine. Knicks this, Knicks that. I'm honest with you. I don't stab you while you aren't looking. I stab you right when you're looking at me. And you should respect that. So, yeah, I just don't like the Knicks. That's okay. I mean, it is what it is. Like, we accept that.
Let's go Knicks.
But I bet against what I don't want to have happen.